It's the Mayo News Football Podcast. I'm Rob Murphy. We have a job of work to do. Tyrone to review. Kildare to glance ahead to. Galway will be talked about. There's a GPA strike. There's news on McHale Park. There is a whole context to put on Mayo's forum. And God knows what else is going on in the world. Maybe we'll get to that in the clubhouse section of the podcast for our Patreon members. But only enough time to introduce our guest this week. Edwin McGrail, how are you?
Great, Rob. Great to be here.
Colin Sheridan, welcome back. It's been a little while since I've been chatting to you.
It has, Rob. Great to be on. Maybe not as great as Ed, but I'm good.
All right, fair enough. We can judge those levels. It sounds like you'll have something for any other business for us a little bit later. But in the meantime, I don't know where to begin. Will Galway beat Mayo? We won't go there just yet. Not necessarily the best of times for Mayo in this league. Colin, you were writing last week that just Mayo almost need to kind of figure out a few things in terms of striking from the bench, a couple of other elements too, but you were surmising that this has been kind of a strange league campaign. It only got stranger at the weekend as Mayo produced by far their most disappointing display.
Yeah, it did, Rob, unfortunately. Certainly, I think it's amazing, a week ago ahead of that game, it was easy to say, okay, we're at a certain point in the league and what do we know? We're a little bit sort of lost, but we've blooded new guys, et cetera, et cetera. But you're kind of saying all that in the context of what a win in Omagh would have done for us and how it would have set us up, forgetting everything about a league final and everything else. But just as regards the psychology of what a win would do, where it would put us going into the last round of the league and looking forward a month then to a month out from Galway. And just the performance, I think, as much as the loss, really then kind of, I think, put us back on our backsides a little bit. And yeah, I mean, much and all, as I was one of those lauding that it's great to blood new guys and to look to developing a bench, retrospectively, then you wonder, would it have been better to go all at this game, get a win, and then, have a different view of the last round of the league? So I don't know. I'm as confused as I am anything else. And you always hope that James Horne knows better than us, which we know he does, but that maybe this is part of the plan. Not losing, but certainly, I don't know. I'm confused.
Yeah, exactly. It's Edwin, you've spoken and written about your feeling that, the league titles or any of that kind of stuff really, really matter even that little bit less this year. I'm paraphrasing a small bit, but the problem with going into the final two games and saying, look, it's more about performance than result, is Gaelic football is still a game that still really does revolve around the result, I feel.
Yeah, and momentum, and you create your own momentum or you halt your own momentum. And so, yeah, there's definitely truth in that. And Mayo found themselves in an unusual position to be on 7 points after four rounds and safe, and heading into the last three rounds, able to refocus and wonder what are they going to do in those games. I think they went pretty much fully at it in Tralee, fell just short. It was it was disappointing, but the performance levels were quite good overall. And then you go into Omagh and Mayo were abject for long stages. They tried a lot. They were missing a lot of key players, to be honest. I think six of the starting team from the All-Ireland final. So there's a certain context to that. And you can, I said in the paper, you can contextualize a lot of aspects of that display and still have major concerns over how Mayo played, and particularly I think the biggest concern would be their forward play and their approach play in the last quarter, in the last 26 minutes or so after they got within a point. They just looked all out of ideas, and maybe they're tired, maybe they're overtraining, but the game was there and you felt it would be a morale boosting win with such an experimental team to go up there and beat Tyrone, a Tyrone team who needed the result more. And Mayo couldn't find a way, and it was there for them and they couldn't find a way. And similarly in Tralee, they couldn't find a way. So that would be the concern. But I will say that Mayo are in an unusual position, like I said at the outset, that they're heading into the last few rounds of the league with a luxury of knowing that they're safe, which hasn't been the case in previous years. And Mayo have always finished the league strong. And is it because they're priming themselves for championship, or is it because they found themselves in a position that they've needed to get those results when their backs are to the wall? You know, they've got those results. And like, how many times have we said about Mayo in championship in recent years, when their backs haven't been to the wall, they have been poor? And maybe there's something in that. But again, I'd be really concerned about the forward play. Notwithstanding all those factors, I'd be really concerned about Mayo's attack and play in the last quarter of the game.
Yeah, I loved your piece, Edwin, today in the Mayo News. Recommend everyone gets it. Here's a snippet from it. They had a total of 10 attacks in those closing stages when they only scored the 1 point from Ryan O'Donoghue. Possession inside the Tyrone 45 is what you deem as an attack for Mayo. Another four good attacking possessions beyond the 45 where decision-making or execution let them down. So I was interested in that, because you're kind of getting to 14 promising attacks. Because I remember a couple of really good breakouts from Mayo where Tyrone were at sixes and sevens. One I mentioned in the post-game podcast where the ball goes to Niall Morgan just read it and intercepted because Mayo rushed the kick pass. Colin, it's like, you know, last year's All-Ireland final, Mayo had 32 scoring chances and everyone talked about that. But like, you know, execution, Peter Canavan said it during in the Here Comes the Weekend podcast, Mayo didn't execute. That was the key to them not performing the All-Ireland final. But one thing that's missed maybe by that comment is they also panicked in those closing stages quite a lot. And we are looking for Mayo to develop more composure, more resilience of a mindset. And we're not seeing it in games like this.
Yeah, agreed. Like, in a lot of respects, there was I saw a lot of similarities in last weekend's game with the All-Ireland final, in that an awful lot of what we did well was reactionary. You know, and I think whatever, we reeled off like 5 points in a row to kind of get back within a point. And then whether it was the realization that we were so close to actually, you know, pushing on and maybe, you know, retaking the game or, you know, at least drawing level and taking the game to them. Suddenly, when we needed that bit of invention and, as you say, that bit of composure and execution, it was lacking and lacking for like a huge part of the game. And I do think it's worrying in the sense that, okay, even if this was us trying out new things at the tail end of a, you know, middling to decent league campaign, you still need these guys. Even if they're not your first choice guys, you still need these guys to be the guys who come midsummer with limited probably opportunities as the summer goes along to come off the bench, or if that's what it's going to be, or replace people who are injured, et cetera, et cetera, and execute. So, again, if like you said, if it was just about performance and not result, it's still disappointing. That's the issue. It's not, I think, unlike Tralee, where you could point in an awful lot of positives. Okay, we didn't come away with a result, and you can see, we saw and heard how desperate Kerry were to win that game. For us, I felt last weekend both were lacking. Obviously, you know, we had a chance to kind of, you know, it would have been a serious second half display that would have overturned the deficit and won that game. But we just never looked like it, even as we clawed ourselves back into it. You know, there was such a long period of time, so few scoring opportunities manufactured, and nearly a bit like basketball too. If you're the opposition, you don't care if you're conceding chances if they're to the right people for you in the wrong positions, the wrong people for us. And I think there was a little bit of that in it as well. So it is worrying. I heard Billy Joe talking last night, you know, about whether, you know, they're talking about training loads and where they're at, and, you know, is that one of the factors that we have to consider? We just don't know about, you know, that's, we're blind to that. You nearly hope it is something, but it's a hell of a risk to kind of run, to kind of go up to Omagh, play the All-Ireland champions, if that is the case, because it did backfire if that was the case.
Yeah, it's, and again, I suppose we're at a moment in time now, and we can only talk about what we've seen, and an awful lot of this has yet to crystallize, and we'll be a lot wiser in 2 or 3 months' time. Like I can, and I heard Billy Joe as well, and I can understand if they were training hard and if they may have been a bit leggy, and I can, you know, I would put a certain context on, like, I would say, for instance, the half forward line that started the last day was quite inexperienced. Fionn McDonagh, Paul Towey, Fergal Boland. And I would always say that if you're bringing someone relatively inexperienced in, if you have one experienced, reliable performer to lead the line, and that wasn't there in the half forward line. But we've seen a lot of the problems that we saw late on against Tyrone. We've seen in the past where when Mayo are presented with a team that is smart and resourceful in how they'll defend, they'll get bodies behind the ball and they will cut off space in the central scoring channels. Mayo struggle to think their way around teams like that. And I actually think Kerry did that better than Tyrone. I think Mayo had a few opportunities in the last 10 minutes against Tyrone where guys elected not to shoot when the shot was on. They weren't getting those chances against Kerry. I think two of the late frees Mayo got were soft as well against Kerry. Against Tyrone, I felt they had better chances. But again, we were seeing the same problems. Mayo just... it's not their preference when a team is well set up defensively. They want to move the ball fast, be it, you know, through the power runners or be it kicking inside. But they have to be better at using that ball when a team is defensively set and knowing what they're about. Like I saw Dublin doing it on Sunday against Donegal, and Donegal was defensively well set. But Dublin were in control of that ball. They were playing it around at their leisure. Mayo didn't look like they were in control. They always looked like they were not sure what they wanted to do with the ball. And I don't think that comes down to tiredness. If they were tired, that's, you know, that might explain why they weren't able to play their high energy game. But it's still a big concern for me that when teams set up like Tyrone, it's an issue for Mayo, and that hasn't gone away.
I think too, I think you make a very good point, Ed, about, you know, even the starting forward six. And it's a bit of a bum deal if you're one of the young guys trying to make an impression. You know, when you're essentially, you've got Ryan O'Donoghue in there with Jason Dock, who's coming back after such a long layoff. But the other four are, you know, they're scrapping to be part of a match day squad, you know. And while that obviously should, you know, bolster their performance in some respect, like you say, if you don't have one of your talismanic guys like beside them to lead, it's a bit of a bum deal. And like, that's not a criticism of James Horan. It's just looking back at how that game went and how, you know, dogged Tyrone were and how resourceful, as you say, they were compared to ourselves. It was a big ask for the younger, more experienced guys, I think. And I think it showed, which is unfortunate, because we do need these guys. We do need Fergal Boland to kind of push on from the decent form he's had this spring. And the same with Aidan Norman and, you know, Fionn McDonagh, who I saw a few times in the Sigerson, and I was hugely impressed. And you want that kind of form. You want him to show that kind of form for Mayo. So, we can, as always, we can kind of overread this one game, and a good performance of the weekend will probably distract from a lot of what we saw last weekend. But these are the games, as you say, that you just want to see something different. You know, in some respects, it's like, you know, it's like bloody watching Emmerdale or Lost, where you're like, you don't watch it for 3 years, and then you tune back in and like the cast has changed a little bit, but it's the exact same storylines all over again. And that's sometimes, unfortunately, what it can feel like with Mayo in the league.
And look, I think you talk about games like this, you're hoping to pick up positives, but the other side of it too is you're hoping to learn a few things. And I think the negatives were very instructive the last day, in terms of, you might have a few guys who are that little bit further down the pecking line now, who had a shot the last day and mightn't have made the most of it, and might be that little bit further down the line. If everyone is fit and ready for Mayo, like Ryan O'Donoghue is probably the only nailed on starter of those six forwards. Jason Dock, if he gets fully fit. Aidan Norman's had a good league, you know. The lads in the half forward line, they work their socks off, but you know, they'll be under pressure for a starting place. And you know, you have the experiment with Aidan O'Shea at six. I'd love to have heard what James Horan's thinking behind that was. And it's funny, like talking to people who were at the match, it looked like he struggled a lot more, or they would have said he struggled a lot more than it seemed on television. But even on television, it just looked like something that Tyrone went after. And you're wondering, what was the thinking there? Is that something that they're looking to do for a full game against certain opponents? Is it something they're looking to do for 20 minutes late on if they're comfortably in control of a game and want to see it out. We don't know because, you know, we weren't able to hear from James Horne for the second week in a row. So there's a lot that was learned the last day. Unfortunately, most of it was on the negative side of the sheet. You know, a couple of positives we can get into, but I think unfortunately for it was probably a game that fellas who didn't play probably did better than those who did.
Mike Finnerty picked out three players that stood out. Of course, he was beside us and part of the game podcast. David McBreen, Matthew Ryan, Jack Kearney, obviously Ryan O'Donoghue was a man of the match on the Mayo GA blog. So they were kind of the four takeaways. Kearney's is an exciting prospect, Colin. We'll start with him before we talk a little bit about McBreen as well. But, you know, I saw him playing for Kilmina. He was in midfield. He was dominating in the junior final, which is what you want to see from a player that might be about to step straight from there to an inter-county season. But just there's something really, really promising about him. And we're kind of getting excited about him. What's your take in the early stages?
Yeah, to Kearney, it's most certainly like just the eye test alone on him. He's a guy who just plays with an awful lot of confidence, I think, which is so encouraging for us as Mayo fans to see an attacking player like that, you know, so young and talented. But to kind of play and just immediately kind of look the part. And I think that, you know, we have to kind of focus on that, not to dismiss the performances, but like to look at those guys who this league campaign has been a great, you know, it's been a great barometer of where he has been or where he is at, which is that he's slotted into it. And he's a guy I think who's going to have hopefully have a huge impact on the summer for Mayo. And like if we were doing our kind of after action review a week after the All-Ireland final last year, we would have identified again the fact that we were missing attacking players that, you know, brought something and made the opposition doubt themselves and think, you know, because I think too often we have bred our. We've taken players, even at Jack Kearney's stage, who have a certain X factor, and we've sort of morphed them into what we need what we want rather than what we need. You know, and we can kind of take that kind of edge off them a little bit, the natural edge off them, and we turn them into whether it's more workhorse type players or more kind of prototype. Type players, and he's not that at the moment. There's something different about him, and I just think he gets opposition defenses thinking. He can handle himself very, very well. He's a strong young fella, and I'd love kind of Jack Kearney to stay the way he is, quite honestly, and for him not to get overcoached in the dark arts of the Mayo ways, just for a summer at least to see how much we can get out of him, because we have seen that kind of first summer, you know, for an awful lot of our players in the last few years who've come on and been very, very exciting. And then 2-3 years in, whether it's coaching, whether it's confidence, Lord knows what it is, but they kind of, you know, they kind of tend to head down a more formulaic kind of prototype track. Kearney looks right now like he could be ready for a big summer. Again, that sort of impact player, whether it's off the bench or starting. But yeah, I've been very enthused by him, I have to say.
This podcast is proudly supported by the Oxford Arms in London. The next time you're in Camden Town, why not call to our corner of Mayo in London? The Oxford Arms, you can't miss it. It's the one with the big Mayo crest outside.
Edwin, are you ready for a hard question? If you can, name your six Mayo forwards for the championship right now.
Right, okay.
This is not fair in some sense, but you're the only guy I could possibly toss this to.
Yeah, I'm sure we'd all give it a go, but I don't have a crystal ball to hand, but I'll give it a go. Assuming Killian is right.
Let's go with that, Chad, but we're worried.
Assuming Killian is right, I think in the half-forward line, Dermot, I think, is the only nailed-on starter in the half-forward line as things stand. You know, Kevin McLaughlin wasn't good the last night. He's been used off the bench. I think Jack Kearney starts. I think he should start the next day against Kildare, and I'd be starting him. And then you have another spot in the half forward line, and might take a bit of a liberty there. And if Jason Doherty is able to get to the pitch of the game in the next couple of weeks, he's just back. You know, you'd give him the benefit of the doubt. I'd maybe put him in the half. in the half line, and I would think then that your full forward line probably picks itself. It's probably Aidan Orm, Killian O'Connor and Ryan O'Donoghue. And I thought Colin made a very good point about Aidan Orm last week, that we need to see what he can give from the bench. But I just don't think we have the luxury at the minute. So, yeah, I think that's what you're looking for. I think too many guys playing their way out of a place at the minute. So you could very easily have a scenario where you'd have four or five nailed on guys and a lottery for the last one or two places. But they're the six I'd go with.
Colin, do you think Kevin McLaughlin's going to find his zip, if you like? Because that was... that was real dirty petrol night for Kevin McLaughlin. Let's be honest. Like we can say this safely about him because we know what he brings. We know the overall contribution he can bring to the game. Obviously, he's in the twilight of his career, but there's still feel there's something there. But in any other player, that was just a horrendous night with everything that went wrong for him. Are you still feeling he's going to have a big impact?
I do, Rob. Yeah, I do. Because I think, first of all, the things that made Kevin, or the thing that made Kevin McLaughlin, I think, so that has made him so good, it has been his brain. I know his engine is phenomenal, and you know physically he's always been, you know, top notch. But I just think his game intelligence is that's what made him the player he has been for Mayo for the last decade or so. And I think that, okay, every player, you know, reaches a point where they can't do as much as they did, and every player reaches a point, unfortunately, it comes to the mall where they, you know, where they're just not up to it anymore. And there's no shame in any of that. But I just think with McLaughlin, because the key thing for him always has been his game intelligence, that you'd certainly forgive poor form. You'd certainly forgive, you know, games like last Saturday night. And he's had a very long sort of road, even through the winter with Knockmore and that as well, to kind of get to this point. So I genuinely would trust that he'll rediscover that this summer. And I think there's another thing to that too, is that like James Orne has never been afraid to, you know, not to sacrifice a sacred cow. That sounds a bit harsh, but like we saw the last couple of seasons with like legacy players like Cullen Boyle and Keith Higgins and others like that, that, you know, he had no issue in not phasing them out, as in like it was a deliberate tactical thing, but not picking them basically. And, you know, not hanging on to something or you know, flogging it just to see, can they get, kind of get, you know, rediscover something. So I think the telltale thing will be what Horne is seeing and how he chooses to use them. But I do genuinely think, just given his kind of game acumen, that he's the type of guy that, again, whether it's from the bench, and I think this is another thing, and it's probably not something that exists within the squad, but certainly I think within our own psychology in Mayo, is that, you know, we haven't kind of caught up to this starting from the bench thing like other teams have. Like even in the discussion last night, again, they were talking about Aidan O'Shea and like, oh, it'd be such a big thing to, you know, to effectively drop him, where other squads or other teams don't see that as being dropped. They see that as just another role being played. And that's, you know, whether it's like 30 minutes or 25 minutes from the bench. And again, I'm sure within the squad, that's the way they see it too. But I think we're just so prone to, whether it's the drama of it all sometimes, that we can see not being picked as, you know, to start as a very kind of negative thing. But to kind of go back to your original question, I hope for McLaughlin's sake, because I think he's given so much. But unlike so many other players, which might rely on the physical or the speed or whatever, I think for him, it's always been his brain. And I trust that, you know, nights like last Saturday night are an aberration, and that come midsummer, he's hopefully in good old form again.
I think he needs to start against Kildare. I think the more football he can get, just to get up to the where we know the level he can get to. And yeah, I'd agree. If he doesn't start against Galway, I still think he'll be having a significant impact. And I think when Mayo are looking to kick the ball, and they were doing that the last day, and he was probably as guilty as anyone in terms of the kicking. But I do think he's a guy you want on the field if you're looking to play that way. And look at, yeah, you mentioned Aidan O'Shea there, like he could be one of the six forwards, but for me, I think he's midfield, or else he's playing at 11, but he's a third midfielder. I'm not equating him as a forward, but look at the big debate there is, do you start him or do you not? And yeah, like I think Mayo have got a lot of impact from the bench in some of the games this year. And I think Aidan being on the bench was part of the reason for that. So it's a tricky call, like, you know, it really is.
Back to you, Edwin. Who else needs to start this weekend, leaving aside everyone? But who else do you think is in that bracket?
I think David McBreen again. I think another game for him. We don't know what the story is with Robbie Henley. I would say if he's touch and go at all, there's no panic on him playing that game. I think it's another game will do Rory Byrne no harm in that regard. Dermot O'Connor and Paddy Durkin, I think if they're not 100% confident in them, you'd be thinking about resting them.
What about Brendan Harrison? Came up on the podcast.
I agree completely with Mike on that. It's a strange one to me. I was impressed with him against Donegal and Sligo the first time out. He was a late change to the starting team. And I think he had a bit of a setback subsequently. But he's been named in the last three squads without playing, I think it is. And I just think that if he's making the squad, you want to be getting game time into him. Unless James Horan has this conviction that he's not going to be part of a starting option, that he's only a cover if someone gets hurt, which would surprise me, to be honest. Yeah, I think a full game for him would do him the world of good. Aside from that, Jack Kearney. I'd start Jack Kearney absolutely. And there was someone else came into my head there before you asked me about Brendan Harrison.
You think about that. I wanted to, Colin, just to you, like you said it a while ago, that these players come in and then maybe they get enveloped into the system or something happens and that spark is gone. Enda Hessian is the latest example. You know, no one's suggesting that Enda Hessian is not going to come back to his very best even this season, but just didn't look anything like last season in the last couple of games, which is fine. And not to forget that Owen McLaughlin, like the engine of last year's championship, is out with injury at the moment. So, like, I mean, you think you have things figured out about who's going where and who has what role in the team. And then suddenly those guys are gone from your mind completely.
Yeah, and you know, I suppose in Mayo we tend to think everything is because it's Mayo, and listen, they call it sophomore syndrome, I guess, for a reason, which is that the first album is great, and then the difficult second album comes along, and it's very hard emulated. And like we've been kind of looking at the renaissance, or we were before Saturday night, even of Fergal Boland, and you know. Like to anybody, I guess, who's been watching a lot of football in Mayo in the last few years, it's not a renaissance at all. He's never gone away. But again, it's easy for us to wonder, because these guys did X at a certain time, why then aren't they being picked? And is that on management, or is that on the player, or is it a system thing that, you know, in Mayo we tend to want our players to play a certain way? And like, there's no exact answer to that, but I agree with you, Rob. It's, you know, if you were to draw up a list of you know, 30 players that don't automatically spring to mind when you're starting 15 is there, like we'll say in 4 weeks' time against Galway, and you'd have, you know, a long list of guys who, you know, you think of James Carr even, and you think of you know, other players like that like burst onto the scene and like gave us something on a certain day, and you're like, yes, we found something. And I'm sure they did too, and it gets difficult for them at some point then. I kind of tend to disagree a little bit with Ed, and it's not, you know, if the likes of Kevin McLaughlin, I wouldn't be worried about game time for him, to be honest, as much this weekend, as much as I would trying to still give as much football as possible to the likes of Jack Kearney, or to the likes of, you know, Orm. Even again, like I know from Sean McDonough, who is a guy who's perennially there, and I think an awful lot of us know what he's capable of, but just doesn't get to either get the right games or shine properly in the right games. But
Colin, just to jump in, he's picked on the team of the season in the Sigerson Cup.
Yeah, and again, like, and I know this is probably recency bias, and I know it's a different competition, but you know, I saw him both in the semi-final and in the final, and you know, because I hadn't seen him as much as others, even the likes of probably yourself and Ed had seen him down in Mayo, I wondered. And then when I saw him playing those games, I was like, no, this guy is looks potentially like he could be the real deal. So, listen, you can't play everybody. And I know that becomes, like, Towie's another one. I mean, you know, there's a guy that kind of lit up Twitter there like a month ago. I know that's lighting up Twitter isn't doesn't mean too much on a given night, but like the company he was keeping playing on that UL team in the Sigurdsson semi-final, you know, this guy, there's huge potential there. So it's our problem is that we have to figure a lot out in a month, and okay, it's not the end of it, but I'd be just keen to populate the team with as many of those guys as possible, but giving them a fair crack by having the hand holders beside them. Like Ed pointed out earlier on, like if you're going to be in a given line, let there be an experienced guy there to kind of take the load from them and share it is my only feeling on it. Like Ed, where do you see Fergie Boland now at the moment?
Well, I was just going to say there, like he's probably a guy who suffered the last day because of the relative inexperience at the half forward line. And I felt he was the pick of them. Like I'd say he probably, without maybe getting beyond the 6 out of 10, but I thought, you know, like he obviously kicked a wide that he'd normally score in the second half. But I still think he has enough credit in the bank from the Kerry game to warrant another go against Kildare. And it was interesting. Yeah, he was probably a little bit further out against Tyrone than he was against Kerry. So yeah, I'd absolutely be giving him another chance. And I think, in fairness, the other lads you mentioned there, Paul Towie, he's an inside forward, I would have thought, rather than a centre forward. I felt in the first half maybe bringing Ryan O'Donoghue out for a while just to win ball around that around the 40 might have worked. And Fionn McDonagh, like again, like he was so promising in 2019 in his breakthrough year. Absolutely riddled with injuries since, and you're hoping and praying that he would be back to being that, you know, he was a guy at the start of the year who I felt could have a huge amount to contribute to Mayo, but he just hasn't hit the form that we know he's capable of at inter-county level. Unfortunately, it's getting a little bit late on in the league, you know, to find that form. And obviously he seemed to pull his hamstring as well the last evening, which just adds to it. The other guy I was going to mention was Mark Moran. He seemed to be togged the last evening. I don't know, was he announced in the 26 or not? He wasn't announced initially, but I don't know, was he announced on the evening in the 26?
No, he wasn't, no.
But yeah, look, we all remember the game against Galway, and the context for that game in Tuam Stadium in October 2020 was how bad Galway were. But he really exploded into life as an intercounty footballer that evening. And we've seen very little of him since. And again, injury has been an issue. And James Horan has name-dropped him a lot. And if he's in the 26th, the last day, I have a feeling he's going to be in the mix for Kildare. And yeah, I'd be curious to see how he's where he's at.
It's funny, and we can talk about this maybe in the clubhouse section, but a lot of what James Horan seems to be doing is either looking at all sorts of options so he can hone in on a 16-20 panel that he's going to really go for the championship. Sorry, a 20-25 panel is what I'm trying to say. Or, you know, there's a certain amount of development for the future as well. And sometimes you kind of wonder if some of that is happening too. So it's interesting. More on that and on. But just a mention of a new sponsor, Nigel Reap. Office Supplies, yes, friend of the podcast, Nigel Reap as well. But his main day job, as you well know, most of you will know, is in the printing business. Posters, signs, lotto booklets, that'll speak to a lot of our GA listeners. He can get it all done for you up in Knockmore. Give him a shout at 086-858-6572. 086-858-6572. Nigel Reap Office Supplies has come on board for our Mayo News Football Podcast weekly show to support us this year. And we thank him for that. Of course, he sponsored one of our Players of the Week awards during the club championship last year. And we'll be chatting to him later in the season, no doubt, too, about all things football. In the meantime, big thanks to Nigel for joining the team, so to speak. Just time for us to move on to some of the other topics of the day. Just some of the headlines in today's Mayo News. Just get a copy of it. You can read all about the fact that Michael Gallagher has been chatting to Dermot Butler, and the feeling is that Mikhail Park will be ready, good to go for next month.
You didn't get the memo, Rob, about calling out Hastings Insurance, Mikhail Park, no?
I was going to just drop that in with a kind of an edit. It's always a difficult one when people say, no, you have to do it this way now, and that's the rule, and you're not allowed to do it any other way. So we can't name it the way it's been named for 100 years, although, you know, it has changed spelling in the last 20 years, so it's hard to keep up with the whole process. Anyways, enough of that. Hastings Insurance, Mikhail Park. There, done. You can edit that in for all future references. It'll be great to have it back. Collins, funny, the GAA and home advantage, especially when it comes to Mayo. Unless you're in Newbridge or nowhere, I'm not sure home advantage is all that it is. But having said that, for the sheer simplicity of not having to put an extra bit of highly expensive petrol in your car, isn't it lovely to just go down the road to Castlebar for most Mayo fans?
Speak for yourself, Rob. Nothing I'd like better than to stroll down from the middle of Galway out to Pier Stadium and not have to face into the, the traffic that everybody else it would. No, obviously, that's very selfish of me. I'd much rather Mayo coming up to play them in Galway, though. There's something about it, isn't there? Like, it's gas how, for a team that have been so prolific, have, like, our win ratio is, you know, in the top three of the country in the last 10 years, and how much we've actually struggled in Castlebar in the last few years across competitions is kind of it's anomalous. But the fact that it's around the corner, and there's something about Mayo and Galway every single year. And I know the last few years since we've started beating them again, Galway have been to an awful lot of people, the coming team that have never quite managed to arrive. But I think just factoring in how their league campaign has gone and how they're kind of quietly building, and we're not going to use this as a kind of a propaganda.
Are you worried, Colin? Are you building up here? Are you a bit worried?
Every single time we've played them over the last 5 years, it's not been propaganda on my part. I'd love to twist it that way. I've long maligned what Galway did to my youth, so I'm not going to go back over that old territory. But I just, if Galway were in Division 4 and beaten by Kilkenny last weekend, I'd still worry that somehow they'll beat us.
I'm going to take that as a one situation where I would not be worried. But you know what worries me, Edwin? I'm looking at the All-Ireland odds, and here's the list of major counties that you may not think are behind Galway in the betting, but are: Donegal, Armagh, Monaghan, and Kildare, all behind Galway in the betting for the All-Ireland. Galway are ranked number five in the country at 16-1. Look, bookies are bookies, but at the same time, every time we kind of write them off, are we foolish? Barry Colnan loves it when we do that.
Yeah, well, you see, for me, the big thing for Galway is how they respond to the Connacht final last year. And they were so bad in that second half. And how they react to that, if that leaves a psychological scar, or if it means, if it's something like a niche they really feel the need to scratch. And that just, I suppose, contextualizes everything in the run up to this game for me. Is that game in Croke Park last year? We said in the previous podcast that being in Division 2 and getting the momentum there would suit them, and would get guys in a rich vein of form, and look at their performance against a Derry team who are usually so stingy at the back at the weekend. You know, it is going to make you sit up and watch. It's very hard to write them off or to, you know, to call this game when we've spent, you know, 40 minutes talking about we're not sure where Mayo are at. And we're waiting for matters to crystallize in terms of Mayo's league displays. You know, is it close to how they played against Dublin? Is it close to the last evening or our long stages of the game against Donegal? We don't know. And the weekend may tell us a certain amount, but we probably won't know until the game itself. So it is a tricky one. I think if Mayo are on form and they have everyone available that can be available, so obviously not Tommy Conroy, but having Killian available, and they're on form, I think they win the game. But what's Mayo's form like at the minute? It's patchy.
The last three times Mayo have met Galway, Colin, the championship has been on the line. Knockout, last chance saloon, Limerick, obviously the COVID championship that we were at in Pier Stadium, and then the Croke Park game. The three before that, there was back doors available, and we all know Mayo just don't get that ruthless mindset until everything's about to collapse around them. This seems set up for Galway in that context.
Yeah, it does. I also think, though, And here I go again, right? So here I am with the building up of Galway and the worry for
existential crisis, folks. Listen to this.
Yes, is that there's something I'm seeing that may not be there, but I think what Mayo, what Galway are getting to, more by accident and fate than anything else, is that that sort of arrogance we sort of. We attribute to them. There's more of an ignorance than an arrogance coming through them now, and an ignorance. I say that in a good way, like in the way that Mayo have been ignorant towards Galway. You know, when it has mattered in those games you pointed out, Rob, and I think it comes from the Sean Kelly dynamic, and there's something very Mayo about that fella. I know he's Galway, you know, through and through, and. But just watching him and how he plays just reminds me so much of sort of that Lee Keegan, early Lee Keegan kind of swagger. You know, when I say there's ignorance, probably comes across as a bit of a pejorative term, and I don't mean it, but it's just there's none of this all rubbish that you would have associated with Galway teams that would look great and play beautiful football and all the rest of it. Like this guy, Sean Kelly, I'm telling you. He just means business. His brother, Paul Kelly, a really, really good footballer as well. And I just always had that thing when I've been watching those over the last couple of years. I was like, if they were from Mayo, they'd fit in perfectly into what we need and want and demand of players. And I think whether it's happened by accident or incident, I don't know. But if he gets a full season, forget about Mayo, but if he gets a full season playing good football, I think he's going to drive that Galway team on and give them a bit of dirt and a bit of, he's not a dirty player, I don't mean that, but he's just going to give them that edge that I think they have been lacking. I think Pádraig Joyce has been under huge pressure and has been saved by COVID championships to an extent because he didn't get a fair crack at it. But like in the most sporting way possible, he hates Mayo. And he will have that absolutely, like those two losses, those two Connacht final losses, you were on about last year's one. The one in Pearse Stadium the year before, to me, was worse for Galway. Because they not only did they leave that behind, but they left an All-Ireland final appearance behind, with no disrespect to Tipperary. So they will have hurt very, very badly, I feel. But I just think with Kelly maturing, and some new players coming through for them and coming into good form and the Keane O'Neill factor, whatever that is, I just do feel that they've got to be feeling pretty good about themselves. Usually they'd let us know how well they're feeling about themselves. So if we don't hear too much about it the next month, then I'd really be worried.
Barry will be on to me. Don't you worry. I'll get a WhatsApp after this one.
Yeah.
This podcast is proudly supported by the Oxford Arms in London. The next time you're in Camden Town, why not call to our corner of Mayo in London? The Oxford Arms. You can't miss it. It's the one with the big Mayo crest outside.
Still don't know if they've solved the whole goalkeeper defence problem though, Edwin, and I guess that could be what decides it.
Yeah, and look, the concern for me would be, we talked about Mayo's offensive play, and a huge part of that is that there's so much pressure and reliance on Ryan O'Donoghue at the minute, and that would be quite... I won't say easy, but that'll be a more straightforward task for Galway than if you've, you know, two or three or four guys really flying up there. So you're hoping for Dermot O'Connor to be back and to be playing well. You're hoping for Aidan Orm, who I think has played very well, but to be a little bit more, you know, to be willing to shoot and to be willing to take on the shots. And you're hoping that either Jason Doherty or Killian O'Connor, preferably both, can come into the mix there and be in a place that they're really giving Galway something to think about. And that doesn't mean Killian O'Connor has to be, you know, in all-star winning form. But, you know, Killian O'Connor in third gear will do very nicely for Mayo right now, you know. But whether he will be in that position remains to be seen. And I think so much of it is going to come down to, you know, again, Mayo's mid-late. That's where they've had a lot of joy, is their running power around there. And I think another thing they didn't do the last evening, and maybe it's down to training, or maybe it's down to they were trying something out against you know, a team like Tyrone. They didn't press the Tyrone kick out that much at all. They did it a couple of times and got a bit of joy off it. But you know, I think that's something they're going to that's going to be absolutely central to the game plan against against Galway the next day. But yeah, like listening to Colin there now, and yeah, you'd be apprehensive about it, because again, we're like, Mayo got to 7 points with the exception of the Dublin game, without putting in a consistent 70 minutes. And Dublin were so bad that day, and were so bad before and after that game, that you had to be conscious of that. So therefore, you know, and again, this has been a problem with Mayo the last couple of years as well, that they were playing fits and starts. And that concern is still there.
Read exclusively about Mayo finding a new training ground, Swinford Amenity Park, in the Mayo News when you get to pick up your copy of it. We'll also be talking about the GPA and GA dispute, which is ongoing. A couple of great articles, Declan Bogue and Michael Moynihan, the really good pieces in the last 24 hours, both worth looking at. And we'll talk about that in the clubhouse section of the podcast as well. So to finish this week's Mayo News football podcast, lads, Kildare, it's all on the line. Quick thoughts. Edwin first. I mean, Mayo win, they're true. Mayo draw, they might be true, might not be. We'll see. Mayo lose, by all kind of metrics, they're probably not true. We say we don't care about league finals, but I think most people who say that would also be slightly concerned by three different feats in a row going into Galway. So I think it's time we all start caring about a league final. I put it to you, Edwin.
Yeah, we're caring about the league final for reasons other than the league final. We're, like you say, Mayo probably need to get a win. They need to arrest the slide, and that's just going to happen to take them into a league final, and so be it. And yeah, like, I don't think anyone, I'm certainly not overly excited about a league final. I have a feeling if Mayo are going to go, you know, far this year, they're going to need to play Kerry three times if that's the case. Maybe you learn more about them, but I'm not too sure the game will be of massive benefit. But look at, I think losing to Kildare and finding ourselves with three defeats in a row and lucky against Armagh in the game just before it, that's probably not a place we want to be in. So, you know, I think we need to start thinking about the league final by virtue of the fact we need to win the game.
Exactly, that's the joys of it when you put it that way. I guess Galway will be in a league final as well. I presume they're going to have a Division 2 final. Forgive me, folks, if I haven't. Edwin's nodding. Thank you.
Yeah.
So I mean, maybe just in terms of the program running into the championship game, Colin, just running out in Croke Park. I mean, what would they do if they weren't in the league final? They probably have some sort of session where they all get together. I think the players would be happier to have a bus journey up to Croke Park to get a run out. And for some of those players who are just maybe starting to find form, like Jack Kearney, for example, maybe even Jordan Flynn, who really trying to nail down a starting spot, a run out in Croke Park might be the best thing possible.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, I'd agree with pretty much everything Edwin has said there about it's probably not ideal. But that said, I think from a player's perspective, they want games, they need games, and, you know, a league final, a kind of a bright, shiny thing to look forward to, isn't such a bad thing for them. It might be more of a headache for, you know, for the management team as regards preparation for the Galway game. But, you know, players are selfish animals too, and I think, you know, having a big occasion or, you know, to aim for would be a healthy thing. But I also think it's more in the context, as Ed pointed out, about what, you know, three losses on the trot would mean momentum-wise, a month out from Galway, mood, psychology, all of those things. So I'd say more for the players that they'd only be, you know, they'd be quite happy to go up. And I also think we kind of have to look at it like, when you look at Mayo's peers in all of this, you know, obviously Dublin are experiencing a little bit of a balanced carrier and good nick. And obviously with Galway's form in Division 2 being quite strong. But outside of that, you know, Tyrone, you know, Monaghan, Donegal, the other teams kind of in that bracket have all had very patchy campaigns thus far, including Dublin. And it could all go belly up for them next weekend as well. So all in all, you know, despite us probably sounding a little bit concerned for the last hour, a win at the weekend sets us up to kind of, you know, push forward from this and, you know, head into April in middling to good shape, I think.
Real test for Mayo coming up. Full detailed preview on the Here Comes the Weekend podcast. Mike is already working on getting some inside information from a Kildare point of view. I'm sure we're going to be hearing all about Shea Ryan, who actually appeared in that Sigerson Cup team of the tournament. So he's a good fullback for them. But I think the real thing is Ben McCormick looks in good form, Edwin, and they've got that full forward line. That actually is kind of a nice test, because Kildare have a lot of the similarities of Galway in terms of firepower from all sorts of angles.
Yeah, I've been very taken by them. I think Woodgate has added considerably to the threat of Daniel Flynn and Jimmy Hyland. And it's a proper test for Mayo. Daniel Flynn is one of these players. He's just a joy to watch when you're neutral, but you wouldn't relish going up against him. So it'll be interesting to see what full back line James Horn goes with the next day, who he sees as the ideal guys for picking up there. Because I think if you look at it so far, we're probably still short in the full back line in terms of look at the options that he's used. Brendan Harrison hasn't been used. What's he thinking in that regard? And I think the full back line that he picks the next day, I think it'll be very instructive, because I think he'll want the full back line for the Galway game to be playing the next day. And indeed, we'll know what he thinks about this game and what he thinks about a league final and whether he's bothered about winning it or not by the team he selects overall. I think the full back line will be particularly instructive.
All right. That's it for us. The Clubhouse section of the podcast begins shortly. But for you, our listeners to the weekly podcast, we will chat to you in a week when we may well be previewing a league final, or we might just be reviewing a league campaign that had its ups and downs. Talk to you soon. Thanks, lads.